accelerated, bizarre, mega-level lying of corporate weaponized terror media. And how the left and mainstream corporate media are trying to cause a civil war, in their own words, and are trying to terrorize the public, and are the biggest premeditated liars the planet has ever seen. And we have Trump's plan for the country, and the fact that he is currently not going to run for re-election, and was never intending to run for re-election. He wants to turn the country around, get a whole bunch of peace deals, and then ride off into the sunset. Even George Washington served two terms and didn't do that. It's genius. And his goal, you know how Trump is obsessed with finishing buildings under budget and ahead of schedule. He's OCD about fixing things and about things working really well. And you could see, since he became president, this incredible maverick, the way he got in everything and the way he's turned the country around, much of the world around, in just a year and a half. And then the response by the evil, corrupt forces, because they were artificially keeping us in that state. It's just epic. And then it makes me very, very sad and upset for my fellow countrymen and women that so many of them have bought into the hype and are just acting like idiot babies who buy whatever lies they're told day to day and don't feel insulted when they learn they were lied to. And I've known the Democrat leadership is bad news and corrupt, but just to see them doing it on a mass scale boggles the mind. And then I saw Roger Stone, a few weeks ago in the news, and then when he's here, saying he thinks Trump will probably only run for one term and that it's going to be Pence and Nikki Haley. And he's told people that his goal is to get out in 4 years. Now, the re-election he's running is in case he has to stay in, but it's just basically to lobby the country to get the policies in place that turn it around fully. And then he'll just step back in the primaries, boom, Pence is in, and the country's turned around, and he just says, hope you enjoy your 5% growth rate. That's his goal. And just walks off. And that's a fact. And then it goes into his whole goal of turning it around super quick historically. If he pulls this off, it'll be so historic, it'll be so good for humanity, and it'll also discredit collectivism, globalism, and MSM in an irrevocable way. They're already irrevocably discredited. Even if they derail what he's doing, they're such nasty crooks. And then you compare him to Pelosi and all these, Schumer, Maxine Waters.
But these members of his cabinet who remain and try to defend him, they're not going to be able to go to a restaurant. They're not going to be able to stop at a gas station. They're not going to be able to shop at a department store. The people are going to turn on them. They're going to protest. They're going to absolutely harass them until they decide that they're going to tell the president, no, I can't hang with you. This is wrong. This is unconscionable. We can't keep doing this to children.
And I guarantee you, when Trump says he's not going to run for re-election, if he thinks things are good enough to step out and the plan's in place, the bigger plan, but the left go, oh, look, we ran you out. Oh, look, you're a failure during all the success. They're like delusional children, and they just go on like self-perpetuating motion machines off into the distance with their lies. But see, I have the disease of information. I'm actually informed. So when I see these liars, it makes me mad.
That was Alex Jones. Thank you for tuning into the War Room today. My name is Jake Lloyd, filling in for Owen Schroyer. Filling in for him with me is Tyler Nixon. Today is a veterans call-in show, so veterans only, please call the number 888-201-2244. That is 888-201-2244. We're going to be talking about veterans issue, the VA, how you can get the most of it, a lot of different things. Join me on the other side with Tyler Nixon. Welcome back to the War Room. Today is the Veterans Call-In Show. I believe we do it once a month. I don't know if I think it's the last Friday of every month. My name is Jake Lloyd, and my co-host today is Tyler Nixon. We are going to be taking calls from veterans on all manner of issues. We're going to be talking about the VA, how veterans can get the most out of it. We're going to be talking about how veterans are reacting to the latest, and I want to specify, it is the latest Democratic call for civil war and civil unrest. They've been doing this for a very long time, so it's not a new thing, but it's recently back in the news. And this is a great show. I really love talking to other veterans. I love getting their opinions on stuff. They have a very, very unique outlook on things. So 888-201-2244. That is the number you can call if you are a veteran and you want to weigh in on the issues that we're talking about today. If you like programming like this, if you like seeing this type of content, if you like other hosts being able to fill in for Owen Schroyer and Alex Jones whenever they are out. Right now, Alex is out, so Owen is filling in for him. Me and Tyler Nixon are filling in for Owen. So please call in if you're a veteran, but also please go check out InfoWarsStore.com. We have a lot of very, very important sales going on right now and important ways that you can fund us. This is the second American Revolution 4th of July super sale. We have sales up to 50% off, and the title, and free shipping, by the way. The title of this sale is very, very important. We have 4th of July, our Independence Day, right around the corner. And it's true. We are in a second American Revolution. It's kind of a, I wouldn't call it exactly a Cold War, but it is an information war in the truest sense of the phrase. So it's very important that you support the voices that are funding the soldiers going out there and fighting this info war. So we are at the forefront of those voices. InfoWars is at the very tip of the spear in the war for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, constitutional government, limited government, all of these different things, unseating the deep state and installing, again, the power of the American people. So please support us. BrainForce plus 50% off, Survival Shield X2, 40% off with free shipping. Low stock, by the way. Very, very low stock on X2. We're not sure when we're going to be able to get it back. Hopefully we can secure more of it soon because it's an excellent product. I personally love it. This is the one of the ones that I use very frequently. It's very good. It just makes you feel all around better. You just feel better, healthier, et cetera. And I mean, I have a whole list of it here. And you know, throughout the show, I'm going to go through more of these, but I have a whole list of things that are on just, I mean, absolutely blowout sales. Knockout Sleep Support is $17.76 with free shipping while supplies last. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com and support us in the fight in the second American Revolution. And once again, my name is Jake Lloyd, co-hosting with Tyler Nixon here, bringing in Tyler. We're going to be doing the Veteran Call-In Show. It's very good to have you, Tyler. I'm glad of all the people to fill in with that I got to fill in with you. We're going to be taking calls from veterans. And you are actually in the United States Army. And I'd like for you to go ahead and tell the audience about your service a little bit, because veteran shows are good, but it's also very interesting. I think veterans like it when it is veterans themselves that are taking the calls.
Well, it's good to be with you, Jake, as always. I'm sorry that Owen couldn't make it. I was looking forward to hosting with him. And unfortunately, obviously, you know, things happen. But I'm actually very excited to be hosting with you as well, because as I understand it, you're one of I know there's veterans who work at InfoWars, but you're definitely one who I've talked to. And I know you are combat arms, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, this is I was so excited to do this. It's an exciting show. You get a chance to call in. You get a chance to sound off, give us your opinion, because I think our military brothers and sisters, you know, are patriots, and especially that we have a very heavy fan base of military folks that watch InfoWars and are part of the InfoWar and are standing up and across the country and really sort of holding the line against the leftist onslaught that we're seeing, the crazy, unhinged lunacy that's it's basically portending a civil war in this country. And I think that those of us who stood on the ramparts overseas, especially, we understand what we were really fighting for, what we were really doing the grueling work for, and it was to defend and support and perpetuate the Constitution of the United States and what it stands for, which is it is a document of human rights and civil rights and liberty and the protection of those. And that is what government exists for, not to rule us, not to govern us necessarily, but to protect those rights first and foremost. And, you know, I thank you for your service, Jake. And I served in the Army Infantry. I was paratrooper trained was stationed in Berlin, Germany, in the Berlin Brigade, the famous Berlin Brigade, before just a couple years before it shut down. This would have been basically, it was 1991 that I got there, early 91. The wall had just come down. Germany was still technically divided. And it was a really interesting post, let me tell you, because there was, even though the wall came down, the separation, the difference between free market capitalism as represented by the vibrant, you know, well-lit, just well-supplied, fun, amazing, prosperous capitalist West Berlin versus the rest of East Germany under the Soviet domination and the socialism, the authoritarian state that they ran there, the police state, really, the communist, you know, it was a communist puppet, basically, for the Soviet bloc. Eric Honecker was president for, you know, a number of years, and, you know, they finally broke away. But you really knew the difference between what it is to live in a world run by socialism, run by communists, and that which is a free world and a free market. You could just see the difference between the two. I mean, literally, you drive into, you wouldn't even have to, like, see the road. You knew you were in the East when you crossed over because you'd lose half your suspension. The roads were so terrible. And, you know, I love socialists talk about, oh, more roads. You know, that's why government exists, to, you know, make roads for us. But you knew that even socialist roads stink. So, I'm looking forward to hearing from my fellow InfoWarriors and fellow vets out there. We're going to have Dave Hocka, a good friend of mine who also served in the brigade, on. He works at the Grand Junction Veterans Administration. He's going to talk to you a little bit about how to apply for benefits. And, of course, there's legislation been recently signed by the president earlier this month, which is completely vamping up or revamping and ramping up, I should say, veterans benefits, health benefits. Now, you know, before it was post 9/11, now they're expanding it to people who are pre 9/11 service, which I think is absolutely should be the case. I know plenty of guys who took a pounding, and myself included, to some extent, in Berlin in the infantry, overseas. You know, we deployed to the Middle East as well. Your body takes, especially in the combat arms, your body takes a real beating. It takes a toll. And there are people who have lingering injuries that may not even have manifested until later in life. $55 billion the president has signed this legislation to allocate to the VA. And I think it's going to be a great thing. And I'm looking forward to having Dave Hocka on later to tell everyone a little bit about how to get, if they, you know, really have problems and need to seek treatment. You know, don't be afraid to do so. Don't, you know, in the infantry, as I know, and what were you, what was your branch, Jake?
I was actually, I was in the infantry. I was in 11 Bravo. Probably during your time, they probably still had 11 mics. Is that correct?
They did. Yeah. And I,
I think I probably would have been in, I probably would have been in 11 mic. I was in a striker brigade combat team, and strikers are basically, they're very similar to Bradley's, but with less armor and less firepower. So it's
so you weren't leg infantry.
What's that?
You weren't leg infantry. You were mechanized.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I was on, you're saying you're a pogue. Is that what?
No. That's not exactly what I'm saying. We, our strikers didn't have the armor or the firepower that Bradley's did. So we still did a lot of walking. It's not not a wise decision to drive a striker into a bunch of firepower.
We used to call the Bradley rolling coffin. And I don't tell you what, when I got was airborne, an airborne enlistment, I literally marched in. People couldn't believe it. Cause I was, you know, I was an E2. I had gotten the E2 from being, from my education. But anyway, I marched into the basic training company, or the one station unit training company commander's office at 436 Battalion in Fort Benning in 1990, said, you either make me an 11B or I'm walking out of here. Because they were assigning 11 mics. And I said, I didn't sign up to be mech infantry. I signed up to be, you know, leg or airborne infantry, one or the other, but basically straight, you know, 11B, 1P. But
I don't blame you. Even though strikers can be a little bit fun when it's in the winter, they're not all that fun. It's a little bit cramped, even though they're bigger than Bradley's. But we'll be right back with myself and Tyler Nixon on the other side, taking your calls for the Veterans Call-In Show.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Your co-hosts, Jake Lloyd and Tyler Nixon. Today is June 29th, 2016. This is our Veterans Call-In Show, and we welcome your calls. You can get on the show today for the next two and some odd hours at 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. Give us a call. We welcome all veterans to discuss any issues that's on your mind. We can talk a little politics. We can talk about, you know, what it's like to be a veteran, what it's what struggles you face. Health issues are big. And we're going to take our first caller, Joseph in California. Joseph, you're on InfoWars. You're on The War Room with Tyler Nixon and Jake Lloyd. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Nick. Thank you, Jake. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. It's so interesting. You know, I'm 11 Bravo 20. I was first of the 506 Infantry, second ID, and my first 3-month deployment to Korea was ended, and we deployed to Iraq, to Habaniya. That's right in between Ramadi and Fallujah. So as an infantryman, I mean, I got my first taste of, you know, real life in combat, and just being on guard for the first time in my life, actually using all my training was a trip. But it wasn't until I gained a leadership position and, you know, did I understand more of the dynamics of why I'm here in Iraq. And, you know, my second tour, that's all I talked to about people. It was brilliant. I was great at sourcing people. That was my job. And the sources that I created were a part of what's called the Awakening, the Sahwa, which took part in Dora, Iraq, back in 2007 in late July and August. So, but, you know, I have two Purple Hearts, hit by two car bombs, three IEDs, and one chlorine IED.
Wow.
So,
Joseph, were you, I'm just sorry to interrupt, were you fluent, or did you speak any Arabic or Farsi, or did you go through translators?
I actually learned, conversational Arabic, but when I needed a translator, I used one, definitely.
Sure, absolutely. I was just asking.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I always carry $300 in brand new 50. Almost every mission we would go out in at night, $300 I got. It was amazing. Yeah, seeing pallets of 50s come out of an airplane blew my mind. Anyway.
My God.
Okay. What I want to discuss is a personal, how PTSD has personally made me grow as an individual. And what's interesting about PTSD, a large part of it is our belief system and how our belief system gets crumbled by trauma. But outside of the trauma, it's how others interact with you. For example, July 28, 2007, my platoon was near ambush. 5 KIA, 13 critically wounded. I managed to save 8 soldiers' lives that day. And by the grace of God, within 15 minutes, we were able to secure the area and protect the rest of my platoon while we waited for backup. I believe it was like 30 minutes. It seemed like days. Regardless, so we were able to move the injured from the CCP to Baghdad Cache. It was after that we were given 3 days off. Well, I wasn't right in my head, and I asked for another day off, and I asked to speak to a psychologist, to speak to anybody. Because of my actions asking for help, the rest of my tour in Iraq, the last 4 months, sucked ass. The chain of command that I idolized, you know, this belief system crumbled. And for 8 years, it took me a long time to reestablish any social connection. And it wasn't until I saw InfoWars and then later read Guerrilla Mindset by Mike Cernovich, did things start coming together? Did I understand all those years in therapy? It is coming to the fact that PTSD is, okay, if I want to call it that, a part of my identity. It is something that I will have to make choices about my life for the rest of my life, and that's okay. But the more that's recognized, see, there isn't a hand out from the government. Every day there should be a hand out to combat vets, out to veterans suffering mentally. Hey, there's help, and there isn't that. What, there's a 1-800 number? Are you kidding me? That's all we get? Wow, thanks, man. How much more blood do I need to sacrifice to get better health?
And yeah, it's very, go ahead. Go ahead, Joseph.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was wondering, I mean, you know, it's a warrior culture. And unfortunately, when you're a broke, you know what, you know, they don't want anybody in profile. And that's sort of the mindset on active duty. And unfortunately, it should be the exact opposite once you've gotten out and you've suffered those injuries, and especially the ones that plague you and live with you as you have for so long. We ought to be bending over backwards. I hope this $55 billion that President Trump has just signed the legislation to throw to the VA and throw to the system to try to really expand it and expand things like PTSD. By the way, this is PTSD Awareness Month, as you might be aware, Joseph. And, I'm going to have a good friend who I serve with, David Haka, on later later in the show in the third hour, who's going to talk about applying for benefits. Are you in the system? Have you really tried to seek it out? I mean, what's the 800 number? Is that really all you've gotten?
Well, okay. No, I'm 100% P&T. It took me a decade. They ETS'd me out of the Army at 20% disability. Wow. My hips, shoulders, two shoulder surgeries, two hip surgeries, you know.
They really act like it's their own. I mean, in a sense, all the government waste, and they're so cheap with combat vets. It's just crazy. It amazes me. I mean, the money that's thrown down the tubes and the people who have literally suffered debilitating lifetime injuries and have gone through the hell that you did. And, you got to literally scrape and claw just to get a disability rating that's commensurate with your actual injuries. That's terrible.
See, Nick, that's why I'm here. That's why I created my blog, iansmind.com. It's to... I want to give these guys the gift that I discovered out of the choices that I made over the last 2 years.
And hey, Joseph, I think we're going to hold you over to the other side because I do want to hear what you have to say there, and I want you to be able to give that shout out to your program there, to the people listening. There absolutely needs to be reform. There absolutely needs to be reform in the way that we treat not only veterans, but especially our combat veterans, those who sacrificed so much, even those who didn't, who weren't killed, who don't have life-changing physical injuries. But yes, 888-201-2244 is
give us a call,
the call-in line. We will be right back on the other side. This is The War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Give me liberty or give me death. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream right now at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to The War Room. The monthly Veterans Call-In Show is taking place today. You can call in at 888-201-2244 if you're a veteran and you'd like to talk to your co-host today, Tyler Nixon, and myself, Jake Lloyd. We're taking a lot of questions about a lot of different things, anything on the spectrum of veterans issues or politics, whatever you want to talk about today is all about you. Now, we held over Joseph from California, and we wanted to get his final comments. And Joseph, you said a few different things about the way that combat veterans are treated. Now, I'm not a combat veteran myself. I didn't have a combat deployment, but I am a second ID guy. Also, I was in 520 up in Fort Lewis, and right. I got there right after a deployment. It was a very, very bad deployment, did not go very well. And it actually, part of the reason I didn't deploy was because the unit was left non-deployable after we lost a lot of guys in 2012, I think it was, that happened. And not only did we lose people there, but we came back, or they came back, rather, and there were a lot of people who were very, very hurt. They had PTSD and a lot of different things, and I mean, there was a severe string of suicides because of the neglect, even within the Army, army that these people experienced. And we had a lot of suicide. It was very, very bad. So I wanted to get your final comments on PTSD and how you're trying to help your fellow brothers and sisters who are struggling with this this terrible, terrible syndrome.
Absolutely. No, thank you again. Right now, I built my blog, iansmind.com, and it's dedicated towards reformulating how we're looking at PTSD. And it's something that there is a solution for. We aren't a symptom of our symptoms. We are still who we are. And this my vision for us is that we can grow again as new leaders in our local community, like reaffirming ourselves and using all those tools that the military has given us to recapture the light back into our lives.
So, amen. Amen. You know, it's I can't thank you enough for your service and for the sacrifices you've made, Joseph. And we certainly appreciate your sharing that with us. And
absolutely.
You know, keep the faith, keep up the fight, the post-fight fight. You're really doing God's work, helping out your fellow veterans, and you sound like a really solid leader and someone who's has something to offer outside of and beyond your service. And Godspeed and God bless.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much for your service. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you for calling in, and we're going to move on to David from Houston. David, go ahead. You are on the Veterans Calling Show with myself, Jake Lloyd, and Tyler Nixon, my co-host, and you want to talk about Trump's second term.
Yeah. What's going on, guys? I enjoy listening to y'all when Owen and Alex can't be in. Yeah, so, you know, so from Roger Stone and Alex being told that Trump's not going to run for a second term, and that's supposed to be concrete, right? I have a sneaking suspicion that I know why he's going to do that, why he's not going to run for a second term. And it's not because he's OCD and he wants to get the job done right now. I'm sure he does. But I think that he's going to skip a term and come back just to get the last of the swamp to show itself. People like Mitt Romney, I mean, are you kidding me? This guy is a senator. This is the greasiest, just, duh. Like, you look fake when he talks. He's got that old school politician, you know, BS that he always up there preaching. I think that's what Trump's move is. That's just my personal opinion looking from the outside in. I think he's trying to truly drain the swamp. But if he gets all eight out of the way, they can wait him out right now. You know, I mean, that's not, they've already been talking about, well, you know, the next 8 years is just like a hold up in their agenda right now. But if he stops and then comes back, I think that's going to be his way of actually truly finishing draining the swamp. I was going to get y'all's take on that, or has anybody thought of it that way?
What do you think, Tyler? I've got some thoughts, but I'd like to hear what you think, if you think that's a viable plan or not.
I personally don't believe that he's not going to run for a second term, and God help us in a sense. One of the things that since Trump has become president that has sort of been in the back of my mind, plaguing my conscience, is what's going to come after Donald Trump, because he's a unique, compelling bull in the china shop figure who has really smashed the paradigm and stuck it to the establishment. And I don't know that we're going to have, you know, that the movement is ready, so to speak, with the leadership that we need to have in place, I think, to pick up where Donald Trump is going to leave off once he leaves office. Let's hope that those leaders are developing and that they will step forward. That being said, I think it's an intriguing idea. I think age might be an issue, obviously, because you're looking at, let's see, he's 70, 71 now. I mean, he'd be close to 80. Yeah, he'd be 72, exactly. So you're talking about 6 years from now. I mean, he'd be, like I said, close to 80 years old. And Trump is, I mean, Trump's an amazing guy in terms of his, you can tell that he's never abused his body over the years. He's got, you know, he's a little heavy, but you know, that's not really affected. I don't think, you know, he's got a crisp mind. He's got energy just for days. I mean, you know, how the man keeps up with the schedule, how he did in the campaign is amazing. You know, I want to see him go for a second term, so I don't even want to think along the lines that he would not would not do that, because I think, unfortunately, again, there would be a big vacuum left, and I don't know who's going to fill it. And you're dead on, my brother, about Mitt Romney. I saw that he won that primary the other day, and I just groaned to myself, because I could just hear him on the Senate floor with his sanctimony and that smooth sort of used car salesman kind of delivery that he's got, you know, just trying to lead the forces of sort of quasi obstruction Republican establishmentism, country club Republicans, the squishes, you know, bringing back the whole contingent that has really been frankly beaten back and purged just about by Donald Trump, not by Donald Trump taking any action other than just the existence of him, and the party's moved in that direction. But yeah, it's
going to
be tough.
Sound like Jeff Flake 2.0. That's my prediction for Mitt Romney, is he'll sound like Jeff Flake 2.0, another one of these, you know, like you said, Tyler, sanctimonious grandstanders. As far as the two terms thing, I think that he probably will, you know, unless he just decides that he wants to retire and in his older age just relax, play golf. I don't know. I think that he will probably run for the second term. And similar to what Tyler was saying, one of the things that I've been, you know, kind of trying not to think about is who's going to follow up after Trump, because there are people with similar beliefs, but there are not so many people with the same personality, the same people that can really, really slap the media in the face, metaphorically, of course. So I don't know. I think that's a very, very good. I think that's a very, very good thought. I don't know. I hope that he does run for a second term. So thank you, David, for calling in.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead. One more thought.
I got one more thing. Yeah. So this is going to relate to Owen if he's listening right now. A while ago, I called in. We were talking about Kim Jong-un, and I said, why don't we take the dude to Twin Peaks and show him what America's about to try to get him to the table? Now, I know we didn't take him there, but we did bring him a tablet with a bunch of speedboats and chicks in bikinis and all kinds of other stuff. So, Owen, I told you that would work.
definitely did show him a movie theater-esque or a movie preview-esque a vision of what peace with America could look like. I do think that was probably something that played into his friendliness. And as much as the media wants to make fun of Trump for his rhetoric and stuff, he definitely knows how to speak Kim's language. So
888-201-2244, folks. I just started to jump in there, Jake. I just want to make sure we get the number out. Give us a call. We appreciate your call, my friend.
Have a good one, man.
I guess we lost. Yep,
all right, so there goes
weekend,
David.
Brother.
That was a very good call. Please, like Tyler just said, please call us in. The number's on the screen, 888-201-2244. Please also check us out at InfoWarsStore.com to support us in the fight for freedom. The Second American Revolution blowout sale is happening right now. Get the deals while they last. Support us in the fight for freedom in the Second American Revolution, and get yourself a good product that'll help your health while you're at it. Please call in. You've got the number. You've got the topics. We'll be right back. Tyler Nixon and Jake Lloyd on The War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Into the Second American Revolution. You are on The War Room here on InfoWars with your co-hosts, Jake Lloyd, and I'm Tyler Nixon. Welcome. This is our veterans show, which InfoWars with The War Room does once a month, the last Friday of every month, and I'm privileged and honored to be on here with you today, and we'll be here for the whole rest of the show. So we got about another 2.5 hours left, and we're two hours roughly. We're taking your calls, 201, that's correct, 2244. And I want to tell you real quick before we get to the first call that there is the Second American Revolution 4th of July super sale going on at the InfoWars store. Folks, jump in there. 50% off BrainForce Plus, Survival Shield X2, 40% off with free shipping. Great deals. This is, I got to tell you, I use BrainForce It is definitely my favorite, for sure. You get that alacrity, that mental kick, but without the sort of the caffeinated hype and the sort of, you know, heart racing that you can get with other other sorts of supplements that would give you a little jolt, you know, for energy. Definitely a great Survival Shield X2, an excellent product. You know, I understand supplies are limited, or there's been issues with the supply chain. That, you know, you want to grab it while you can. These prices are great, really, and it's good stuff. Jake, do we have any callers lined up and ready to go?
We do. It looks like next up on the list is Gary from Chicago. Gary, you're on the Veterans Call-In Show on the War Room. How are you today?
Good. Hi, guys. I got three health points to make, and then a political thing. I'll make it short. Carnivore, that is the best product of the lineup because that can help everything else work. We've been in the health issues, alternative medicine, since about 76. And that is the best formulation, and we really get good results. And that means you're going to be able to digest every other product and your foods by taking that. It's got some great enzymes in there. And the second thing is Agent Orange. Unfortunately, Dr. Group hasn't come up with a formulation for detoxing something like that out of the body. I hope he's listening because I seem to have gotten good results using Icelandic kelp. I took it for 30 days, and I cleaned my entire system out. All the bloodshot came out of my eyeballs even. And the other thing is, for those guys that have PTSD, I'd recommend they view the video, The Hidden Enemy, because it talks about Big Pharma and the side effects of those drugs. That stuff is just crazy pills. Can't get around it. And the fourth point is George Soros. Why isn't he been deported yet? He apparently lied about his past collaboration with the Nazis when he applied for citizenship in his country. During the 70s and 80s, they had a purge going on, getting people out of the country that had some affiliation with the Nazis that wasn't disclosed. They all got kicked out. And the thing is, Hungary would help doing background investigation of that guy's activities. He's one of the main contributors to problems in this country, and he could get his butt shipped back somewhere if they got on a case. I can't count on Jeff Sessions, but somebody should get the case rolling on that guy.
That's a really good point, Gary. I don't know if his primary residence is in the United States. I definitely think that he should be barred from any kind of entry, any kind of involvement in American economy, anything to do with America, really. I know that Hungary and I think Russia, I think those two are have banned him or are working on it. I think a couple other Eastern European countries are working on it as well. There's kind of a pathology in America that we have this idea of being so free that it's almost to our detriment. And I by all means think that the maximum amount of liberty is ideal. But that doesn't mean that when there's a threat to our country that we shouldn't recognize it and cordon it off and neutralize it, whether that be deporting somebody, barring them from entry, or whatever the case may be. So that's my opinion on it. I do think that George Soros is too much of a danger to not only America, but the Western world. So I do agree with you, Gary, and hopefully America will wake up enough to the point where that is a possibility. Tyler, what are your thoughts on George Soros? You may know more than me as to whether or not he lives here permanently, but I'd like to get your thoughts.
You know, I'm a peaceable guy. I'm a peaceful guy. I believe in the preservation of life, but I wish George Soros would just drop dead. And I say that with all due respect, which of which there's none, frankly. The man is a ghoul. He's a you know, if he has any relation to the United States, either seditious, you know, insurrectionist, whatever the case, funding all these agitation groups and creating, you know, collapsing economies earlier in his career. He admitted openly on 60 Minutes, I believe it was, to being a Nazi or collaborating with the not being a Nazi. But you might as well be if you're doing their dirty work and they're bidding against your own people. You know, what difference does it make? You were a Nazi. And I don't know that he's ever been held to account for that, whether there was any reckoning for that. Yeah, he was a young person. But, you know, he was so gleeful about it on that show. And then, of course, you know, Alex Jones gets beaten up for having said that and having said that he's an illiterate Nazi. And it's true. The man, it came from the man's own mouth. It shows you how Anderson Cooper, CNN, all these guys, they, you know, it's fake news. They want to cover up for someone like George Soros, who's I don't even know if he's an American citizen. But, you know, his involvement, I mean, talk about Russian collusion, Russian meddling in our elections. I mean, this guy Soros has been dumping billion, you know, he funded his little, I guess, I don't know what you call it, not a think tank, but it's like his foundation with all this money for them to, you know, basically just, what's the word, try to destabilize the United States towards ultimately some sort of socialist end, if not communist end. I mean, you know, the man's an authoritarian statist in every sense. He worked for the Nazis. He supports socialist causes. I mean, he's a disgrace to humanity. I hope he drops dead, and sooner the better.
Yeah, frankly, I agree. I definitely think that, I don't know, America, modern day Americans are too, there's too much of a trepidatious response to, like you said, sedition and treacherous individuals. So I think that, I don't know, I think we should be a little bit more harsh on traitors like Hillary Clinton and those abroad like George Soros. So Gary, thank you for the call. I thank you for your thoughts on carnivore. And I think that we should look into some kind of detox for Agent Orange. And I'm glad to hear that, like you said, Icelandic kelp has helped. And I think the viewers, if anybody is struggling with that, they should look into it, see what the possible benefits of it are. And we do have detox things. Like, I know that the Nascent Iodine Survival Shield X2 does that. So please check that out. So thank you again, Greg, for calling in. I think we have time to fit in. Go ahead, Tyler.
I was just let's take our next call. Go ahead.
I think we have time to fit in another call in this segment. Let's go to James from Oklahoma. And James, you want to talk about VA benefits. So go ahead. You're on the War Room with Tyler Nixon and myself, Jake Lloyd.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for all you do. InfoWars is amazing for the people. I mean, Alex Jones does an amazing job getting the word out there for everybody, for one. But just two quick things, man. I've been hearing a little bit. In Colorado, I guess it was, the e-benefits has been hacked, and the VA is being pretty quiet on it. They're not talking about it. Apparently, there's an individual that got his account hacked, all of his money taken just before he was supposed to leave town. And part of this is because there's no structure in the system. There's no security. If there was anything that ever needed to be changed when it came to direct deposit money accounts, that's something that we should come in and physically have to sign. And wasn't required. And so this guy slipped through the cracks, and apparently all of his benefits money was taken. And as 100%, you know, disabled benefits receiver, that really worries me, considering I got four kids that I got to support off of that, you know, and a wife. Just kind of makes you worry about the security of us as veterans to even get our payments anymore. And then secondly, I don't know if y'all heard about it or not, but here in Oklahoma, we just recently went legalized for medical marijuana usage. And the big talk is that they are not allowing you, if you have a gun, to get a license, or vice versa, if you have a license, not to get a gun. So kind of infringing on Second Amendment rights, in my personal opinion, considering medical cannabis is used for a variety of things, not just mental disorders. You're speaking to a veteran who has PTSD, who also, you know, suffers from chronic, you know, pain disorders, migraines, eating disorder. You know, I've got a lot of stuff that goes wrong with me, and it's not just for mental patients. They don't understand that. You know, a mental case, because you have to use medicinal cannabis. You're using it for, you know, people use it for glaucoma, everything, you name it under the sun, but you're able to tell me I can't buy a gun because I have glaucoma and I use a medicine that is proven to work better than anything else.
Yeah, those are both very worrying, very, very worrying topics as far as e-benefits. I mean, I know it's very, very easy to get through. I mean, the bureaucracy's terrible, but it's not that hard to fake getting into e-benefits. I dealt with that when I was trying to get some stuff together for school. Anyways, thank you, James, for coming on. Tyler Nixon and Jake Lloyd hosting for the rest of these two-ish hours. This is The War Room. We'll be right back.
Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. Your hosts today, Tyler Nixon and myself, Jake Lloyd. It's been a very, very good Veterans Call-In Show. The number is 888-201-2244. If you're a veteran and you'd like to call in, we've talked about a lot of good topics. You can bring up anything from politics to the VA to veterans issues, or even if you just want to talk about your military experience, we're happy to have you. Now, Tyler Nixon, you wanted to follow up real quick on the last caller talking about the insecurity of e-benefits and the way that the government really has not safeguarded our benefits, and there may have been a hack, and also the cannabis issue that Greg from Iowa had brought up just before the break.
Yeah, mainly, you know, there's two causes that I've fought for in my lifetime, probably more than anything. One is the Second Amendment, our Second Amendment freedoms, and the protection of the right to keep and bear arms, which is not enshrined in the Constitution, believe it or not. The protection of it is enshrined in the Constitution because it is a human right that exists whether or not the Constitution exists. Let's make that clear. And the other, I believe, is you know, from a libertarian perspective and from the right of you know, the right of the right to defend yourself, which you know, is inherent, and I mean that collectively as well as individually, that is enshrined. You know, the protection of that is enshrined in the Second Amendment. Also, the right of self-ownership, the ownership of your own body, the ownership of what you put into your body, the right to self-determination. I mean, if you don't own your body, what do you own in this world? You know, how free are you really? And the idea that we have people who, you know, have different traumatic injuries, who have all kinds of maladies, who are benefited by cannabis, by the cannabis plant, as our last caller had noted, just the whole range of, you know, it's really a analgesic that hits every possible malady you can think of. I mean, really, I think we're going to find, you know, 100 years from now, when it's been fully developed into, and you know, all the possible uses of it, from industrial all the way to medicinal, have been sussed out, have been developed and researched. I think we're going to look back at this time, this period of prohibition in the United States, and view it as barbaric because it has denied people access to, you know, a God-given botanical, a God-given plant that has, you know, too many uses and too many different effects that are positive on human beings in order to, you know, to just disregard it. And the fact that we waged a war on people, sick people in many cases, people who have you know, suffered and obtained relief from this and don't have to pop pills and worry about side effects. The fact that that's been denied to them is bad enough. But then to take it a step further, the federal government, you know, to basically say that you can't avail yourself of medicinal or legal state marijuana, cannabis as the case may be, and that you're going to have to forfeit your right to keep and bear arms due to that is disgraceful, and it only makes more imperative the need to end federal cannabis prohibition as we know it and leave it to states to decide for themselves. And even then, I think under state programs, state law programs, that people who use cannabis, unless you've shown some type of overt issue that would deny you, as you know, the case would be with mental people, people have mental issues or have been adjudged in any way incompetent or unable to function properly, and that might be dangerous were they to possess a weapon. Unless you have a court order to that effect, you've been deemed that by a court. You know, you should have every right to exercise your rights. I mean, why not just take away the right to vote as well? I mean, because you use cannabis. I mean, where does it end? I think it's a disgrace. It's a it's, you know, just really discriminatory against you know, cannabis users as well as many vets, and it needs to end, and hopefully it will. I think President Trump might take us in that direction. Another great breakthrough with our president.
Well, I sure hope so. And it's very, very sad, like you said, that our veterans who could benefit so much from this, they're cut off from it. And if you go all the way back to the original reason that it was prohibited, the reason it had such a stigma around it, it was only because of money. It was not because of, oh, it's such a bad drug for you, it's so bad. It was purely because it cut into somebody else's pocketbook. It made their industry possibly obsolete. So we'll be right back on the other side with Tyler Nixon and Jake Lloyd. This is the War Room Veterans Call-In Show.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Tyler Nixon, with my co-host, Jake Lloyd. This is the Veterans, the monthly Veterans Show for our fellow service members to call in to sound off, share your views, whatever's on your mind. It can be service-related. It can be political. You know, we love a good political discussion. We love jawing about politics and about the state of affairs in our world and the progress we're making with the Second American Revolution. We're coming up on Independence Day in a few days, and everybody calls it the 4th of July. That's great, 4th of July. It's Independence Day, folks. We were liberated from Great Britain. We, you know, we had a revolution, not a peaceful revolution, but in a sense, a revolution not just one of power and authority and state, but one to liberate people and one of human rights and civil rights that has stood the test of time, but is under major assault right now in the United States and around the world, frankly, but particularly here with our seditious, screeching radical left that are intent on destroying our civil society at any cost. As long as they can't control it, they're going to destroy it. They're power mad. They are unhinged. And I think the fact that they're coming so unglued before our very eyes is, in my opinion, very much indicative of our success. Because I think when you're on the right side of the equation, as we are, and I don't mean that right-left, right? I mean, we're correct. We are the ones who support what this country was founded upon. We are the ones who support human rights and civil liberties. And that's really what it's about, because why live otherwise? You know, collectivism has always proven to be a dicey proposition. And when you add authoritarian statism to it, what you have is tyranny. You have fascism. You have every hydra of, you know, every form of that. You know, people want to call the right fascists. All authoritarian ideologies are left-wing, folks. That's just all there is to it. People on the right that I know want liberty. They want, and the most extreme forms of those are anarchists. You know, they want a complete abolition of government and don't recognize authority, don't recognize, you know, a sovereign over them, over their lives at all. I wouldn't take it that far. I think there's great traditions to be preserved and conserved, and so that's why I'm a libertarian conservative. But for the most part, though, we are up against people who they believe that their unique, narrow, stunted ideology should rule us, should tell us how to live, should really hold sway constantly. And we see what the result is when they're denied their due, when they're denied their goodies, and when they're denied their ability to control and direct how everybody should live and how our government and how our civil society will pan out. But Jake, what do you think of the well, let's first of all, 888-201-2244. We'd love to take your calls, fellow vets. And I just want to real quick get Jake's thoughts, and I'll be glad to weigh in on the retirement of Justice Anthony Kennedy and who might replace him.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Tyler. Well, that's one thing that I wanted to ask you about, your opinion as an attorney of law. A lot of people don't understand. They don't really realize how monumental it is that Donald Trump has not only been able to replace Justice Scalia with Neil Gorsuch. That is a very, very big deal in and of itself. The left, the Democratic Party, thought that they would be able to replace Scalia. Some people think that the circumstances around Scalia's death were very suspicious. Who knows if he was killed and if he was killed by whom, but that's not what we're getting into today. So it's very, very big that Donald Trump not only got to replace Justice Scalia with a conservative constitutionalist, and I don't mean conservative as in like right-winger. I mean, he has a conservative interpretation of the Constitution, what the founders intended when they wrote it. And not only that, but now he will be able to replace Justice Kennedy. I believe his retirement is effective as of the 31st of July. He'll be able to replace Justice Kennedy with, I believe he will choose another constitutionalist to replace him. And it's very, very possible that he could replace another one, maybe another two justices by the time that he's out, if he is here for the next 6 years, if he goes into a second term. So it's a very, very big deal. This could shape the courts. It could shape the government and the state of American politics for, I mean, decades to come, Tyler. What do you think as a lawyer? Do you think that there are any lawyers or judges that you expect that Trump would put in, or any that you think that he should put into, or at least nominate for that seat?
That's a tough one to handicap. He's got a long list of extremely qualified people. You know, the thing about the crazy radical political left in this country is they don't know how to throttle it back ever, even for their own good. You know, you have this complete meltdown, which was frankly delicious. I mean, you know, seeing these people come unglued and their impotent rage just really makes me jolly, I have to say. Not because I'm a malicious person whatsoever by any stretch of the imagination, but because it couldn't happen to a more deserving group of people. They have set themselves up for this with their, you know, their vaunted Leviathan government that they think should, you know, control the universe. And the fact that they can't control it drives them absolutely batty. And we've seen it unfold before us. And they have announced that they're going to just, you know, whatever it takes to stop Trump from nominating the next Supreme Court justice. You know, good luck with that. They're not going to stop it. As Senator Mike Lee had said, we will vote and we will confirm President Trump's next Supreme Court nominee. That being said, Justice Anthony Kennedy was about probably 80%, you know, hewed to the originalist side of the court. I don't say constitutionalist because obviously everything should be constitutionalist in terms of Supreme Court justices. Those are the decisions they're making. But originalist in the sense, and I don't mean necessarily textual originalist like a Robert Bork, although I do agree to some extent with some of his jurisprudential philosophy. But what I'm talking about is originalist in the sense that this, as I said before, is a document of liberty, of civil rights, of human rights. And that is what should be upheld. And the larger construct of federalism, where we have the interlocking powers, we have, you know, the states have rights under the 10th Amendment, but then you also have the different branches of government that are co-equal, and you don't have any one particular, ideology or faction holding too much sway. And we don't have the overreach that we've seen for, you know, coming up on the last century with the progressive fascist in many ways is really where its origins come from, when you had, you know, Mussolini and Hitler on the rise, and frankly, Franklin Delano Roosevelt at the same time, who, you know, a lot of those early progressive politicians who supported things like, not genocide, but, the types of programs and, you know, they talked about eliminating the, you know, large amounts of the population. And I think some took it further than others. But let's face it, we've built this massive government that's supposed to be able to control and fix things and be there for everybody. And all it's been is a major drag. And now it's becoming a toy, almost something that people are fighting over to the point where it's become ridiculous. And I say toy in the sense of, like, they're irrational about it. It's like, you know, children fighting over having who gets to play with this. But it has major consequences.
Their meltdown shows how they view the courts, because like you said, yeah, you know, with people, when you put people in that position who have, like you said, that's the word that I was looking for, thank you, the originalist interpretation, they're not trying to insert some kind of political bias or political agenda. There's no problem. Like neither side should have a problem with it. The judge can do what judges are supposed to do and just, you know, assess the law and go from there. But it shows, there was somebody on Twitter who was melting down. They're like, this is the last straw. Like, it's either going to be put on a Nazi uniform or get sent to the death camps. It's like, only your side is the ones that are trying to legislate from the bench. We don't want that. We just want somebody who will read the Constitution and will interpret it in a way that allows maximum liberty for everybody involved.
Amen. You know, and it really, it does reflect as I would, you know, you can look at any instance of any institution in our country, that there is none that they will not co-opt and corrupt and put to their service and put to the use of their ideology, no matter what that is, no matter how antithetical it is to the basic liberties and the basic notions of a free people in a constitutional republic. And that's why they are freaking out, because, you know, it's been their last bastion. They've always, when they couldn't get what they wanted done in the court of public opinion or at the ballot box, they always resorted to the courts. And we see it now even with the litigiousness, the armies of lawyers dispatched from the Obama, you know, ex-Obama lawyers who are tying up Roger Stone, suing Roger Stone. There's, you know, all kinds of lawsuits going on. The left knows how to abuse every institution. And I hope that President Trump does not throttle back and he does put someone on the court who is an originalist and doesn't try to sort of split the middle. I think he'll nominate a woman. I think that woman, that Catholic judge who's a great appeals court judge, will be it. Folks, you're listening and watching The War Room with your hosts, Jake Lloyd and Tyler Nixon, Veterans Show. Stay with us. We're looking forward to taking more of your calls.
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. This is the monthly veterans call-in show. My name is Jake Lloyd. My co-host is Tyler Nixon, a veteran himself, an attorney at law. We have been taking some very, very good calls from a lot of veterans, a lot of listeners of the show. We've talked about the VA. We've talked about e-benefits, marijuana, medical, cannabis use, a lot of different things. The phone number, by the way, is 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. That is the number that you can call if you're a veteran and you'd like to talk to us here on the War Room about any issue, whether it's politics, the VA, or anything else having to do with your service in the United States military. And once again, we thank all of you for your service. We greatly appreciate it. We're going to go back out to the phone lines now. Me and Tyler Nixon are going to be talking to Greg from Iowa. Greg, you've been waiting for over an hour, so we appreciate your patience. And you want to talk about the station of vets in the society. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, hi. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Great.
Long time listening to Alex. It's amazing to finally be on. It's keeping me sane these days, especially over the last 8 years, to finally find people that know what's going on in this world. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, you know, there's so many people giving us lip service. Oh, thank you for your service. You know, these civilians out here, you know, they thank you for your service on one hand, especially at the VA. It's so sickening. And, you know, thank you for your service. Sucks to be you. Sorry, we can't help you. You know, here's a form to fill out. Want you to go home. Fill it out online. You know, meanwhile,
yeah.
A friend of mine...
Take two aspirin and don't call us in the morning, right?
Right. Meanwhile, a friend of mine I served with in his 40s, just had open heart surgery, nearly died waiting for that very same surgery while three states VA systems juggled him around because they didn't believe he needed open heart surgery. And myself took me over 10 years just to get in the system after being disabled, medically retired after serving over 12 years. And it's, you know, even family members, it's just, you know, that are Democrat rubes, you know.
Is it Jeff?
It's Greg.
Oh, Greg, where are you located? What state are you in? Just out of curiosity, just so, because you know, that's, go ahead.
I'm in Iowa. My buddy, okay. He got some of the best care I've seen in Iowa, but then Pennsylvania screwed him all up.
Okay, yeah, that's the worst part, I think. Yeah, one of the worst parts is the inconsistency in the system. Because I have a good friend who he couldn't make it on the show, unfortunately, today. He's Tennessee. He's 101st Airborne. We served in the Berlin Brigade together in the 502nd. And he said he's had, you know, pretty good experience all around with the VA. I'm going to have my buddy Haka on later in the show to talk about what he does and what the opportunities are to get health benefits. But I think, you know, more than just necessarily fixing the systemic problems is making it consistent. And I think that's, you know, you highlight this, how you can have great care in one place and you go to another place and you take your life in your hands.
Well, think about this. This is how simple this system is, or should be. When we apply into the VA, right, we are given a photo federal ID into a federal system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we should be able to go in to a clinic or another VA hospital and be able to give over that photo federal document ID, since we're in a federal database now, and get our contracted care, but we can't. I had to go into emergency room, a local emergency room, by ambulance because I was told to go get an IV to drive 5 hours to get an IV, to drive 5 hours to go, because that's the nearest VA hospital, because they would not allow me to go to the local VA clinic, which was 30 minutes away.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Because I was not in their local system yet, because it would take 6 or 7 months to get in that system, even though I had a federal VA card and I was in the VA system. I was dehydrated so bad from a medical condition from the military. That's how bad.
They want you to drive 5 hours. So like, oh, that'd be really healthy for you, in the car for 5 hours and you're dehydrated. You need an IV. You know, that's insane. And, you know, it brings us back to President Trump again has taken this seriously, $55 billion. And his goal is to where, you know, you don't have to go to a local VA clinic or VA anything. You can get your care from a private provider, from a regular doctor, and the government will pay for it because it's going to be more efficient that way. Let's face it. If you want to look at how socialized medicine would treat the country, just go to your local VA and look at that system. I mean, you know, and these are veterans. These are people who serve the country. This isn't just like a, you know, healthcare is a right kind of thing. Like they've, you know, everybody who is in there has earned it and deserves it and should be given that care and has, you know, serious problems and injuries in many cases as a result of that service and wartime service at that and horrible service, horrible experiences. Yet, you know, these bureaucrats get in there and they just view it as, you know, it's like, whatever. They either don't care, there's apathy, or they, you know, have these limited budgets and it gets blown on things that aren't, you know, and look, it's not all that way throughout the country, but I think you're going to see a real difference after a year or two. It's going to take a while for it to sink in and kick in. But President Trump is serious about fixing the veterans health system and the Veterans Administration. And he has just appointed a new director of the Veterans Administration of VA, who I think is very going to take it very seriously. And he knows he has the president backing him up, because let's face it, you know, Bush, Obama, but you know, none of these guys took it seriously. I mean, you look at even Bush, I even give him worse guff than Obama. You know, Bush kicked off these Middle East wars and, you know, they didn't seem to care. Nothing ever changed at the VA. Well, Donald Trump's not that kind of executive. He's going to get in there and he said, you know, look, you're fired, to the previous guy. This is unacceptable. You have people dying. And I hope that, you know, I hope it catches up and the system gets kicked into gear and people can get the care they need, and you especially as well. Greg, and you know, I'm sorry you had to do that. Go through that.
It is. It's very, very. Frankly, it's disgusting the way that our people are treated. And you know, I've had fairly limited experience with the VA. I've worked a little bit with them back when I was thinking I was going to go to school, trying to secure those benefits. Very, very thick bureaucracy there. And I mean, I could even qualify for some like actual VA medical benefits, but I haven't gone through it yet because I don't have the urgency. And it's just imagining what it's like to go through that bureaucracy. If I was somebody in the position of some of these combat vets or these people who have life-threatening conditions, all of the different terrible, terrible stuff. So it's disgusting. And like you were saying, I sure hope that it will get fixed under President Trump. This is the War Room Veterans Call-In Show. Please call in. The number is 888-201-2244. We will be back on the other side. Stay tuned with Tyler Nixon and Jake Lloyd.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
making talk radio great again.
This is The War Room
with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Rolling through our Veterans Edition once a month here on The War Room, taking your calls. Jake Lloyd and Tyler Nixon, welcome back. It's good to have you with us. The number to reach us, 888-201-2244. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Sound off about anything you want. For the next couple minutes, though, I want to bring in someone who's not a military veteran, but is definitely a veteran of battles and a veteran of the war against prohibition. And I'd call that a war, the battle against prohibition, cannabis prohibition in particular. We were talking a little bit about that. Patrick Moore has been fighting on the ramparts to ensure that people have access to this this medicinal, this botanical, this amazing natural substance that has been denied to humanity by a Leviathan police state, has been used as the pretext, I think, to erode so many civil liberties and so many of our core rights under the Constitution and otherwise has been used to militarize law enforcement. And it's it really is a war in many ways. And I can tell you there's a lot of people who have suffered in fighting against the big prohibition police state. And Patrick, fortunately, you've not had to suffer, but you've definitely given your life to that. And I think veterans' access to it is one big component, one of the reasons that, you know, I've definitely support the end of marijuana prohibition in the United States. And, you know, let's get on with it. President Trump is supporting that. But Patrick, welcome to the War Room.
An honor to be here, Tyler, as always. Thank you so much. That was a kind introduction. And absolutely at the front line of my fight for freedom in America has been fighting for the rights for veterans to have access to safe and reasonable medicine. I'd like to give a big shout out to my father, my grandfather, my uncle, all veterans in the United States Army and mostly Army. And they've all let me know that they give me a thumbs up for the fight I've chosen. It was in the 90s when I was growing up, and there wasn't even an option to join, considering President Clinton was the president. So I decided to take my fight in a different direction. But we, many of us consider it to be a very patriotic fight. So, yes, thank you, Tyler.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I wanted you to talk a little bit about, you know, I think we all know that, and anecdotally and otherwise, that cannabis does help veterans who have PTSD, who have physical maladies, who have aches and pains. You know, what can talk a little bit, because I know you're definitely, as I've been, very steeped in the cannabis freedom movement, as well as I've been involved in the industry emerging as an attorney and also involved in different enterprises. But, and I wanted you to touch on a little bit about the different organizations that exist, Weed for Warriors, things like that, that you know, have directly cater to or directly serve veterans, and, you know, talk a little bit about what, you know, where they are, what the movement is there, and what progress is being made in terms of bringing veterans this medicine that they need.
Absolutely. No, you made a good choice with Weed for Warriors. They really have been at the forefront for years in California trying to assure fair and equal access. They stood side by side with the Jack Herer Initiative and those who stood against George Soros and that type of legalization that's becoming very common in America. Sean Kiernan's been an excellent spokesman for the principles of reasonable, fair and equal access to cannabis. And we all owe him a big favor here in California. There are breakthroughs. I know, right? Just a couple days ago, the United States Senate passed a bill allowing medical marijuana to be prescribed for veterans, and hence protecting veterans around the states for their access within medical states for cannabis. So there are steps moving forward. Problem is, they're in a backdrop a lot of this pseudo legalization that is actually moving us backwards in many ways, especially in states like California. It actually had a very libertarian medical bill. And now we've lost most of those rights, and we're all finding our freedoms shrinking every day. Every day as we find out more about Prop 64, it's less and less freedom we have. So that's the fight we continue here in California. We certainly hope to set a better precedent for other states and other countries around the world that this medicine doesn't need to be hyper-regulated, hyper-taxed, hyper-controlled. We're finding one of the safest elements on the planet. As we all know, there's never been an overdose. There's never been a death related to cannabis, which there's virtually no other drug on the planet they can say that about. So it's beyond safe. And in contrast to what veterans volunteer to do and have to put up with, it seems ridiculous to try to protect veterans from herb as mundane and yet healing as cannabis sativa or indica cannabis. So yeah, the fight will continue. Yeah. We will not give up until every American has fair and equal access. But we're going to start and make sure those who give the most to this country have access to it right away.
Yeah, amen to that. And I'll tell you this, I've always wanted, I come from a conservative libertarian background, and one of the areas that I always felt I was able to commune, so to speak, or to have accord with even more of the radical leftists has been on this issue, which is, shocking considering that they want to control everything under the sun, that they would, be part of liberating this. But I guess, it sort of comes out of the counterculture. But President Trump has been a bit of a surprise in terms of he's really the most cannabis friendly president we've had probably in modern times at this point, in terms of openly stating he supports an end to federal cannabis prohibition. But, with 90% of the public supporting medicinal cannabis use, and I think it's upwards of 66% now want it, available for all purposes, whether that be so-called recreational or non-medicinal. But whatever the case, I think it always comes down to everything is, in a sense, medicinal, because whatever you take it for, it's making you feel better. It's alleviating anxiety, stress, pain, whatever the case may be. But you have been under attack, as I understand it, from a number of people, because you support the president, because you're not in lockstep with the leftist agenda, with the the Bernie bro sort of socialist angle to it that you get a lot of people in the marijuana industry, as well as sort of the larger cannabis freedom movement. Talk a little bit about that, because that needs to stop. I mean, that's just ridiculous, attacking you merely for the fact. I mean, it's not surprising, but what's the worst you've seen?
Well. Everyone says they're caught off guard by what's happened in the last couple of months, the statements on April 13th by President Trump. But you and I, and members of the United States Cannabis Coalition, we knew it was coming. Roger Stone told us a year ago, don't worry, this is going to happen. So it was the longest year of my life maintaining my faith in that, because it was a very quiet year. Trump didn't say anything for a year. All we had to go on was what Sessions was saying. But I had my faith. I knew Roger Stone was a pull in my leg, and sure enough, the steps have started to happen. So we are moving in the right direction, despite the greatest, it's really one of the greatest perils of the resist movement. Because if Trump actually has success legalizing cannabis, he gets credit for what he's already done. The resistance in their principle starts to fall away. They'll lose a lot of their support. They'll lose a lot of the credibility that somehow Trump is so far right, he's taking our country in the wrong direction. What we're now seeing is the exact opposite. We're seeing a very reasonable man addressing very reasonable issues in a very reasonable way. The States Act is very, it's like the Cole memo, but made into law. And the decriminalization, the descheduling of hemp, that's a multi-trillion-dollar issue for this country linked to our national security. So we're having huge steps forward, and those who don't want to see progress, those who would rather wait for 3 or, really it's going to be 7 years for them to get a chance to legalize it, for them to get credit for it, to them I say, no way. Our veterans need medicine today, patients, cancer patients, everybody in this nation should have access to cannabis. We're not going to wait. We just had 8 years. We're not going to wait another 7 years so the Democrats can get credit for it, because that's what you think should happen, Mr. Liberal. So yeah, we're more than glad to be moving forward under the auspices of Trump and making history with the Republican Party and freedom, and one of the most fundamental freedom issues in America.
Amen to that, Patrick. I really appreciate your coming on and sharing your thoughts with us. It makes me proud as a Republican, and I've been a Republican my whole life, stuck with the party for better or worse. I don't support necessarily establishment leadership, but I think it will be the height of irony in history to have a Republican president, especially Trump, be the one who presides over the liberation of cannabis in our country. And of course, many, many thanks and kudos to Roger Stone, who is one of the few amongst Trump's inner circle and the people close to Trump who have kept that alive and made sure that he understood the real stakes involved. Patrick Moore, thank you so much for joining us. You are listening to and watching. Yes, thank you. You're watching The War Room. We're taking your calls, 888-201-2244. Do not go away. We'll be right back on the other side.
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the monthly War Room Veterans Call-In Show. I am your host. I'm one half of your hosting team. It is myself, Jake Lloyd, and Tyler Nixon. In the last segment, you had Patrick Moore and Tyler Nixon discussing the fight to legalize cannabis, the use of it in general, because it's not a bad thing, but also especially for the medicinal uses. So that was a very, very good segment there. And we're also going to continue taking your calls. The number is 888-201-2244. And we're also going to open up the phone lines to non-veterans, to civilians who want to talk about the VA, veterans issues, or just things in the news at the moment. So once again, the phone number is on the screen. It's 888-201-2244. So now, Tyler, let's go ahead and go to Zach in Kentucky, and he wants to talk about a personal story about vaccine damage. Now, Zach, is that just vaccine damage, or is this a vaccine that you received in the military?
Yes, sir. It was in the military. I went in 2012, and I had, I had all kinds of, all these vaccines at the beginning of basic, and they were fine. And we went to, I went through basic. I did all kinds of, I did everything in basic, did just fine. No issues with that. Got through basic, got to the very end. They lined us up, gave us some more shots. The first round of shots, they gave us a piece of paper, had all the things listed, you know, normal things you would, you know, need boosters for, supposedly. And then they had the second round. All it said was booster, 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 booster. No names, no nothing. Woke up the next morning with migraines that I've had for going on 7 years now.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's terrible because so many vaccines, and you know, we here at InfoWars are very aware of the negative effects of vaccines. They put, even with infants, they put aluminum in it, for example, just to scare the baby's immune system to jumpstart it and to overdrive. And as you know, whenever you enlist into the military, you go in and you get all these shots, and then of course there's recurring shots that you have to get, shots that you go or that you get whenever you go for a deployment or whenever you go to Korea or Africa or wherever. And it's terrible because there's no choice. There's no option. And a lot of them, like you said, they're just booster shots. There's no actual reason. It's not to keep you from getting malaria or smallpox or any of these things. I actually, when I was in basic, I had some kind of strange allergic reaction to a shot that we got. And I had rashes all up and down my arms for months. And so that, you know, wasn't as bad as what you're saying, which is very, very unfortunate. And then once while I was in, I got one and I got sick as a dog, absolutely just terribly sick. I mean, I thought I was going to die. So I don't know, Tyler, do you think that there's a way, like, do you think that there should be a reform in the way that the military looks at vaccines, the way that we administer them to our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines? Or do you think that this is an unavoidable consequence of the military bureaucracy?
Well, I think, unfortunately, you have to have the uniformity, so you can't have some people being administered these vaccines and others not. I remember when we, on pre-deployment to the Iraqi border in early 91, I mean, it was like, I can't even remember how many shots we got. And it took, I think it was over like a 2-day period we had to go in. And there was like probably 12 to 15 different shots. Fortunately, no side effects that I noticed anybody but suffering. But it's kind of the old joke, you know, just know that your rifle has been made by the lowest bidder. Similarly, you got to wonder with the military's, you know, with the vaccines they obtain, who they're obtaining them from, whether you have people in the system who don't really care, whether they're adulterated even, you know, beyond what a typical or a non-adulterated vaccine might do in terms of deleterious health effects. But I it's a tough issue, honestly, to, you know, because again, like with the military, you're sending troops over into foreign lands. And, you know, inherently they're going to run into bugs and different, you know, pathogens that we're not used to or that are not typical of here in the United States and North America and so forth. So they, you know, they almost can't take the risk of not vaccinating them or taking some measure, because it is so, you know, it's so embedded in the mentality of traditional medicine that these are what is needed. And it's, you know, it's part of the system that, you know, look, we're going to have an abundance of caution. And I don't think that they think, you know, the potential side effects of those or the potential backfire is worth the risk, you know, of not administering these, because, you know, they're sending these people into dangerous situations. I think probably the last people that they're going to be worried about having effects from, you know, pre-combat or pre-deployment vaccines are, you know, are the military. But it's I don't know. I wish I had a, you know, easy answer for you.
And Zach, has the VA helped at all? Is there even any recognition for the fact that this might be service connected, or have you been shrugged off the way that a lot of civilians do whenever they have vaccine injuries due to government mandated vaccines?
Well, surprisingly enough, it is actually service connected. I got medically discharged on it. It took quite a while to be, you know, I sit around at TRADOC for a while and all that good stuff. But mostly it was just I got a good doctor. He figured out what was going on, and I don't know, worked out. I'm service connected 70% now. It took 6 years, but.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm terribly, terribly sorry that happened to you, that you served, that you signed up to serve your country and you had that horrible effect. But I'm glad that at least, even though it took so long, I'm glad that at least you were able to receive the benefits related to that disability. Are there any other final thoughts you'd like to give us, Zach?
I guess that's it. I just hope other people that have had something similar happen to them can, you know, get help too.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate the call, Zach, and all the best luck to you. And we're going to go to another call here just in a moment. But real quick, I want to invite you to go to the InfoWars store. That is InfoWarsStore.com. You can find some very, very good sales right now. It's the Second American Revolution 4th of July Super Sale. And this, of course, is a sale for you to get some products at a discounted rate, at a very, very good rate. Very, very good products. Things like Silver Bullet for $9.95 with free shipping while supplies last. That is a colloidal silver that is very, very excellent. It's a great disinfectant. DNA Force Plus is 50% off if you need a little bit extra focus, but you don't want the jitters or the other effects that come with caffeine for some people. That's a great product. DNA Force, I mean, that's a very, very good product. It's generally a little bit more expensive. It's on the higher end because of how hard it is to get these supplies. It's now 50% off for $74.95 on the InfoWarsStore.com. So please go check that out so that we can continue to bring you these excellent programs like the Veterans Call-In Show, and that we can have Owen Schroyer go fill in for Alex Jones, and then I can jump in when Owen Schroyer and Tyler Nixon were supposed to be hosting today. I can fill in for Owen Schroyer, and we can have these excellent shows like the Veterans Call-In Show. So if you want to see continued program like this, if you want to see it expand from 10 hours a day into more, probably Alex, I know that Alex wants to go to 24 hours a day eventually, please use the InfoWarsStore.com to offer your financial support. We greatly, greatly appreciate everything, and we hope that you enjoy the product. So now, Tyler, we're going to go back out to the phone lines. We have Christopher from California, and he wants to talk about the Russia situation and how e-voting should be banned. Christopher, how are you today?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, Jake. Hi, Tyler. It's an honor to be on with you guys today. I want to say thanks for your service, and thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Okay. I definitely wanted to talk about the whole Russian hacking situation, the collusion situation that I think is obviously, I feel like it's a bogus and a false narrative, and it's mainly constructed to, you know, to attack the president and to bring down his, bog down his presidency. But I think that in that we have an opportunity to sort of turn that around on who are pretty much what I call, you know, insurrectionists. What they're doing is they're attempting to, you know, overthrow a duly elected government of the United States. And I feel like in the process, they know that what they're doing isn't true. And so that's why I use that wording. But what I wanted to say was that it's an opportunity for us to look at the risks and the reward, you know, associated with electronic voting.
Absolutely, Christopher. We're about to go to break here on the War Room Veterans Call-In Show. If you want to hold over to the other side, we'd like to hear what you have to say. But it's true. If Russia meddled in our electronic voting machines, then maybe we should get rid of that and go back to a hard copy system. You have Tyler Nixon and Jake Lloyd on the War Room today. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the other side.
The scientists at InfoWars Live have...
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Rolling through this Friday, June 29th, 2018, you are watching the War Room with your hosts, Jake Lloyd, and I'm Tyler Nixon. And welcome back. Welcome to the Veterans Edition of the War Room that we have once a month, every last Friday. We're taking your calls. You can reach us at 888-201-2244. All veteran calls are welcome. Again, 888-201-2244. We want to hear from you. You can sound off. It can be about military affairs, veterans affairs. It can be about war. It can be about peace. It can be about politics, whatever have you. We always like a good political discussion as much as honoring our veterans and hearing from you. And, you know, just give us a call. We're ready to join. Have you join us. And I also want to note, we are having the Second American Revolution sale at InfoWars Store. And I did notice on the list, in addition to everything, just about everything being 50% off with free shipping, not everything, but most of it, the great, you know, the tops like Brainforce Plus, Survival Shield X2, there's $100 off the Alexa Pure Breeze. You can't beat that, folks. $100 off. I mean, that is a major discount. You know, get in there. And it also supports the InfoWars mission to beat back the globalist fascist, you know, agenda that's been creeping up on America for a century. You know, without your support, we wouldn't be able to do these broadcasts honoring our veterans or, you know, fighting against the creeping, squealing, screeching, rapacious left that would have us all subjugated to their whims and, you know, basically under the rule and under the tyranny of people like Maxine Waters and Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, you know, and the whole rogues gallery that comprises the congressional left, I guess you'd call it. But Jake, what do you have for us? We have a caller lined up and ready to go.
Well, we do. We have Christopher. I think it's funny that little slip you made. They do comprise the Democratic left, but they also do they compromise Congress as well. So anyways,
they compromise everything they touch.
Exactly. We wanted to finish up with Chris from California real quick. He was talking about Russian collusion and e-voting, and he had something to say, but we had to cut him off because of the break. So, Chris, if you want to go ahead and finish up with your last thought there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I was just saying that this Russian collusion fairy tale, I see it as an opportunity to start a conversation about the risks and the rewards of electronic voting. I live in California. I voted for electronic voting here in 2000. It was the first time I was able to vote. I am a veteran of the Marine Corps. I served from 2005 to 2010, and I was a data Marine. So learning what I learned in the IT field in the service and since, you know, I would say that there's no real solid way to really secure the integrity of our election systems. And obviously, Alex has covered this in the past with Bev Harris. I've been a big fan of you guys, been listening since 2005, since when I first got in the Marine Corps. And I just basically wanted to say that, you know, we used to count the votes by hand, manually, and there's nothing wrong with that. We can do that. We can do it just fine. It may take a little longer. It may make for a little less exciting television. But ultimately, in the end, it will benefit us, and it will stop a lot of people who I believe, especially on the left, they steal elections and they manipulate the votes with software via electronic voting. And I think that it's just time for us to say, hey, let's look at it. Let's have a conversation about it, and let's really say let's ban it. And I wanted to start the hashtag ban e-voting.
And if you guys can put that out and anybody can put that out, I think that it would be, you know, mutually beneficial for everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that hashtag ban e-voting is a good idea. And like you said, we used to count them by hands very, very recently in the grand scheme of things. But back in the day, part of the reason there's such a large gap between, it used to be even larger, actually, because they used to have to count the votes in all the states and then take it to Washington for it all to be totaled up and everything. So it's definitely possible. I think that it's a lot better. We wouldn't have the whole Russian collusion narrative if they couldn't claim that it was being hacked and all that stuff. So stay with us. This is the Veterans Call-In Show. Tyler Nixon has an excellent guest, very helpful on the other side, so stay with us. Well, we are 6 minutes and 17 seconds into the third hour of today's War Room. Today is June 29th, and we've had an excellent Veterans Call-In Show. We do these once a month here on the War Room. Today, your hosts, Tyler Nixon and myself, Jake Lloyd, we've been having some great conversations with veterans, U.S. military veterans. We've had, I think, a couple Marines on. We've had some soldiers. And we've been having some great conversations, Tyler, about the VA, about other veterans' issues, even some vaccine-related stories. So it's been a very good show. For anybody that wants to call in and talk to us a little bit later, the phone number is 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. If you are a veteran and you want to call in and talk about veteran-related issues, or if you're a civilian and you want to, we are opening it up for this third hour to civilians who want to talk about military-related topics. So, Tyler, you have a guest that will be coming on here very shortly to talk about the VA and about how people can get the very best care from the VA, their very best benefits possible. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your guest coming up?
Sure. He's a manager in the VA up in Grand Junction, the mobility section. He helps disabled veterans and veterans need transportation overseas, getting them to where they need to be. He's been working in the VA for a number of years, and he's one of the many, I'm sure, of diligent people who do care about veterans. He is a veteran. We served together in the Berlin Brigade in Germany in the early 90s, and he's gonna run through basically sort of how the system breaks down, what the different tiers are, and the different there's different ways to approach it, and also just the process for getting into applying for benefits and what that entails. And he's might even be able to take some calls. So if anybody has any calls or questions, I should say, about the system, and they want to hit somebody up who's from the VA, works for the VA, and is on with the approval, by the way, of the VA. So he's not just he's not going rogue. His name is David Haake, and that's Haake. And he will be on with us shortly, directly from his office. He had to sort of, take a little bit of a side thing there to get set up to join us. But, I want to take a little side trip here because, Dave and I are a little bit older guys. Jake, how old are you, Jake? You're in your 20s, right?
I'm actually 21 years old.
No, get out of here.
Yes, 21 years old. I enlisted at 17.
Well, I was going to say, must have enlisted at 12. Jeez, when these guys went in, No, that's great. I tell you, are there people in your family that served? Do you have a tradition there, or did you just, were compelled?
Yeah, most of my uncles, most of them served in the Army on both sides. My dad's brothers served in the Army. My mom's brother served in the Army, with the exception of one who served in the Marine Corps, and that's okay. And then also my grandfather's also served in the Army. So that's kind of where I got it from. I always kind of just expected that I would go into the military, and also all of my cousins and everything as well. So kind of just always was accepted. For a little while, I was planning to go into the Marine Corps like my one uncle, but I came around to my senses and I joined the Army, the U.S. Army Infantry. So that was the decision I made. Very, very proud of it. Glad I did. So, well, that's the military history.
I'll tell you, I enlisted into the pre-Clinton, I guess you could say, U.S. Army, where, you know, it wasn't the, I don't want to say the feminization of the military, but there was definitely a move on for that, you know, trying to get basically, you know, combat arms to have co-ed, so to speak, or, you know, both genders basically serving in the combat arms, the infantry, which I think was a terrible idea. But that being said, there were a lot of good traditions, and our drill sergeants, I'll say this, I don't know, you know, what kid gloves they treat you with today, but those guys were like Arlie Ermey right out of Full Metal Jacket there at Sand Hill, Fort Benning, in 1990 to 1991. And they didn't, let me tell you something, there were a lot of expletives flying, let's just say, and they didn't no kid gloves for sure.
Which basic company were you with?
I was in the 4th of the 36th in Alpha Company, which was part of Sand Hill. Harmony Church, they still had going. I believe they've raised Harmony Church, meaning it's been demolished now, which was the old barracks, the old two-story barracks buildings. We moved into the ones, or we started the ones with the new brick, beautiful complexes that they had, and they'd have the whole battalion. They had four battalions in, and kind of a weird thing, actually. I remember when we came in, you could hear the guys who were way advanced, and it was one station unit training, so I believe it was something along the lines of it was 4 months and maybe a week or something like that, continuous. In other words, it wasn't basic and then AIT. It was just one station unit training. It's probably how they still do it. So we were Alpha Company. We arrived and we could hear Delta Company was almost done, right? And these guys were, they were loud, man. We'd hear them, when you come to attention, we'd have the whole chant you do in our case, Alpha 436, Airborne Infantry Ranger, hooah, that stuff. So we hear these guys, and it turns out a few years later, I learned that Timothy McVeigh was in Delta Company 4th of 36 while I was, joining Alpha Company. So I thought, they did sound like a bunch of real hardcore guys for sure. Timothy McVeigh amongst them, which was kind of an odd side trip. But speaking of tradition, Jake, I'm going to, you're really young, so I want to give you a pass on it, but I don't. I don't know if you're familiar with the challenge coin tradition, but
I thought you were going to be in studio, so I actually brought one. I was like, okay, Tyler, the problem is I left it outside the studio because I was like, he's on Skype. I was like, dang, he's on Skype. I don't get to do it. So I left it out there, but I did expect that. I just didn't expect you'd pull it over Skype. But
well, you can buy me half a beer when I get to Austin.
Okay. Well, deal. I think Harmony Church is actually Cav now, because I was there. I was in Charlie 258. I think that I think Cavalry was at Harmony Church.
The area is still there, but those old two-story, clapboard barracks have been.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
I saw recently actual footage of them being bulldozed and torn down, and believe me, they needed it, because when I was there in 90 and 91, they were on their last legs for sure. But that was really the old days where, the drill sergeants would lay hands on you and kick your ass if they felt necessary to. Fortunately, I think the terror that was struck into the hearts of the all the recruits that and all my fellow one station unit training mates for that period, man, they broke you down. Drill Sergeant Ariola, Drill Sergeant Curry, Drill Sergeant Rodriguez, and God, who's the one? The last one. He would come in at 4 a.m., come roaring in on a Harley in an entirely jet black leather, everything was covered, and Drill Sergeant Ross, he had no chin, right? Almost no chin. I mean, he had sort of a weak chin, but he always had a giant dip, he'd have like a half pan of Copenhagen in his mouth, and he would come in. I can't unfortunately repeat most of what he would say, but man, that I tell you, and between that and the sleep deprivation, boy, it was brutal. I mean, really, they break you down after a certain point. And that's funny, because I tell you, the one thing I thought when I was going in would be the physical stress of it, obviously the forced marches and the PT and all that, and just, obviously being constantly, hopping and popping. But really, the sleep deprivation was the worst. I mean, if you want to talk about a way to torture anybody into insanity, sleep deprivation is where it's at. I remember we'd have, multiple fire guard watches, or you'd basically pull sometimes multiple fire guards in a night, which means, you'd have one And then you get to sleep 2 hours and you have to be up again. And yeah, I'm telling you, you never knew you could sleep in the places you could sleep until you've been in the Army infantry or in any of the combat arms where you got to stay up for 3-4 days on end. You know, you'd fall asleep standing up, just leaning against a tree with a 100-pound ruck, you know, in the middle of nowhere with a forced march. But anyway, I digress with my old stories. I'll tell you what, we're going to get Dave Haka here on the other side of this break coming up. And, you know, we appreciate your joining us here on the War Room for the Veterans Show. And we look forward to taking your calls. Dave Haka will take your questions as well. 888-201-2244. Jake, what do you think?
I think it's a good show. And yeah, I think, you know, sometimes I get nostalgic about being in the Army. And then I remember those sleepless nights where you get maybe, you know, 2 hours of sleep and then it's up for another 36 hours or so. So I don't miss that. I don't miss that. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Into the third hour of today's War Room, the Veterans Call-In Show. We do this once a month. Today, your hosts are Tyler Nixon and myself. I'm filling in for Owen Schroyer today. Owen went and filled in for Alex, so I take his position, and I get to talk to Tyler Nixon and all of the Info Warriors that were actual warriors and actually served in the United States military. And we've had a great, great show today. The number, by the way, is 888-201-2244. If you'd like to call in and talk to us about any military-related issue or anything about politics or really anything, we're just happy to talk to you. This show is all about veterans today. And we've had a great show. And now, Tyler, you're actually bringing on a guest. This is a good buddy of yours, so I'll actually let you do the introduction. But I'm actually very, very excited about the guest you have.
Yeah, I don't want to delay or give too much too many, you know, prefatory introductions to him, because I want to let him speak. But Dave Haka, I've served with him years and years ago. We were we tested out of the school standards that they make every soldier take in Berlin, because we could speak German, and we had some interesting experiences out on the economy, as they called it back then. And this is in what was West Berlin at the time. And Dave is fluent in German. He married a wife from Poland. He did some work with the Army War College. Has quite a history. Dave, welcome to the War Room. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, good to see you, Tyler. Good to meet you, Mr. Lloyd.
Nice to meet you.
So, Dave, listen, you're the VA guy. You're the expert. Give us what you want to tell us about the VA.
I'd say I was a gifted amateur. But what I want to touch on, first of all, June has been PTSD Awareness Month. So with that in mind, I definitely want to make sure everyone knows the Veteran Crisis Hotline. If you've got a pen on hand, get ready to write this down. 1-800-273-8255. Press number one. That's 1-800-273-8255. Press number one. They're there to talk to you 24/7. With that said,
so Dave,
I work for the... Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you were telling me about the different tiers, I guess there were, of the VA health system, and you know how to apply for benefits. Let's get right into that, because that's the meat.
Right. The Department of Veterans Affairs is actually three tiered: Veterans Health Administration, which is what I work for; the Veterans Benefits Administration. Those are the ones that give compensation and pension exams and compensation or service-connected disabilities. And then the third tier is the last tier, the National Cemetery Administration. Once a veteran's prepared and registered into that system, once his body is prepared, once he hits the gate, no more expense. Stone is covered, burial is covered, final honors are covered. So it's a pretty good deal. And there's one phone number to access all three of those branches. And whatever region you call that from, it will connect you to your region. That number is 800-827-1000, and just follow the prompts. What else would you like to know, Tyler?
Sure. You talked a little bit with me about, and by the way, I just want to point out, you're a collector of militaria, and that amazing helmet and hat collection and cover collection, headgear collection in the background is yours. That's not just a VA.
Check.
Yeah,
I brought it to share with the veterans.
Really cool.
There's a couple of pieces that were actually gifted to me by my veterans. One guy gave me his helicopter's pilot helmet from Vietnam. He said, my kids aren't going to know what to do with this. I don't think you can see it in this frame, but I said, well, I'll take care of it, sir. And I've taken care of it ever since. So it's pretty neat. It's an honor, actually.
Yeah, and I know you had collected quite some interesting pieces from when we were stationed in Germany in Berlin. I know remember they were dumping out everybody's closet. The East was trying to get rid of, get American dollars in the door. But real quick, and I think we'll probably hold you over to the next segment as well, because we want to see if anybody out there, if you want to talk, you have a question directly for someone from the VA. Dave Hocka is the guy to talk to. And our number is 888-201-2244 for all veterans out there if you want to call and join us here on the War Room. Dave, you had mentioned the process of applying for benefits, and you kind of wanted to give the quick once through. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. There is a website that you can do that on, eBenefits. But what I would recommend is that you consult a veteran service officer. All of the major veteran service organizations have veteran service officers, typically, if not at least at the county level. In most of the major cities, they'll be at the VA as well. But you can go to the county VSO, or you can go to the Disabled American Veterans, Veterans of Foreign Wars, or the American Legion. Each of those have veteran service officers that they can put you in touch with. The reason I suggest that is because these people have experience filing these claims. What you would do, say, a lot of guys got their exit physicals, but some guys waived it, not knowing what they were passing up. So what you should do is, if you have a service-connected injury, say you even, doesn't have to be in combat, you could have fallen down a set of stairs while you're on active duty. You might have injured your back. Well, you just need to have an examination. And when you file the claim, they'll examine you in conjunction with that claim. That examination is called a compensation and pension exam. And that can be for any service-connected disability, or rather injury at this point. And then it would be labeled as a service-connected disability. And for that percentage, you would receive compensation, which is supposed to help you get to your appointments. And veterans also that are travel eligible, if you're service-connected for a disability, you are travel eligible to your appointments for that disability, up to 30%. 30% service-connected veterans and over are travel eligible to all of their VA medical or VA-approved medical appointments. You just have to see your beneficiary travel clerk at your local VA to file a 10-3542 for travel compensation. And that's to help with the fuel costs for the injured veterans that have to go repeatedly to the hospital for treatment and care.
So, real quick, we got about a minute and a half left till we take a little break here. Dave, one of the things that I mentioned about the problem with the VA, I think, is the inconsistency. And I just wanted you to be able to have a chance to address, as someone who works with the VA, the quality of service and, you've obviously seen some of the best and, you've probably seen some bad cases. Do you see improvement panning out and bleeding into the entire system? And has there been a warning order given out about this new funding coming in and President Trump's reforms?
Well, I believe, and I can't speak for the Veterans Benefits Administration, and a lot of what he's done has affected or will affect that process, speeding up the process of filing claims and making determinations on service-connected disability. But as far as the Veterans Health Administration goes, where I work, I'm in a fortunate situation that my VA is just awesome. And people actually come here instead of going to two close by major cities. Probably a lot of that has to do with it being a smaller VA, so it has more of a country appeal to it. And people are able to talk to someone who knows them. It's a smaller town, so it's not a city.
Sure. Well, we're talking to Dave Hocka with the Veterans Administration, my old buddy from the Berlin Brigade and a longtime friend. And he's going to be taking any questions you might have. So give us a call, 888-201-2244. And you are watching the War Room Veterans Editions with your hosts, Jake Lloyd and Tyler Nixon. We're going to take a short break here. Don't go away, folks.
The War Room.
Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
The second American Revolution rolls on here at the War Room. It is the last Friday of June 2018. We're doing our Veterans Show today with my co-host Jake Lloyd, our special guest from the Veterans Administration, David Haka, also a good friend of mine going way back. You know, Jake, I got to say, man, that uniform behind me, I mean, I got lint in that that's older than you. I still can't get over the fact you're only 21. You're mature, you know, very well poised, you know, your stuff. Hats off to you. You were raised well, my friend.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Do we have any, is there any calls in the hopper by any chance?
It looks nothing like yet. There's one. It looks like there's, I don't know if, is any info. We'll see. No, they might have some info here in a second. It is ringing though. So we'll have one in just a moment.
Okay, great. Okay. 888-201-2244. And, you know, give us a call. And if you just want to tune in and listen, Dave is a real resource with the Veterans Administration, and he's a good guy. Dave, do you want to give out any contact information? I know you probably don't want to go outside necessarily your normal bailiwick. You're up in Grand Junction, Colorado. I'm down here in Denver. And is there anything you want to share in terms of people getting in touch? Can anybody reach you? You feel comfortable giving out your contact?
Well, the thing is, I've got so many veterans of my own right here to take care of. I don't really want to open it to a national wide.
No, sure.
The best number to call nationwide, the best number to call would be that 800-827-1000. They can answer all your questions for any of the three tiers of the VA, Veterans Benefits Administration, Veterans Health Administration, or National Cemetery Administration.
Sure. Now, you did some work with the Army War College. Can you touch on that? That had to be a fascinating experience. That's out in Maryland, right?
No. It's in Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Sure. I actually worked at the International Fellows Program. They bring in four national officers. And in my day, we had 72 countries represented. They're colonels and generals from these friendly nations that we are not necessarily allied with, but at least working with, and they bring them into each class. What the War College has is a one-year graduate studies program, colonels typically in our Army, and then these four national officers as well will come and study for a year, and they'll get a master's degree in strategic studies. And the whole point of having the four national officers present is so that you have the opinions from different officers from different parts of the world. And also friendships and alliances are created that last a lifetime. So it was pretty fun. My job was to show these gentlemen from other nations how our nation operated. I'd take them to factories, churches, museums. I took them to see the Liberty Bell, things like that, so that they could be familiarized with our country and our culture. And they lived amongst our families in Carlisle. They didn't live on post. So they were fully exposed to the American experience right in the middle of Pennsylvania.
And then you said 72 countries. That had to run the gamut in terms of the different levels of professionalism, I guess you could say. Now, if you make it to the Army War College, you're not going to be, the dreck or the dregs of any particular country's army. But who stood out to you, Dave? What country stood out to you as having the most really squared away officer corps, or the people that really, in your mind, stood out?
Oh my gosh, so many of them were so impressive. The Pakistani generals were really fabulous. They usually sent two each class. And I had a great time with my Africans. And in fact, while I was there is when Africa Command was established. And the commanding general of AFRICOM came and met with the African generals right there while I was there. Back in, I think that was 2011 or 2012. It was a fantastic experience. All of the nations said their creme de la creme, just to be honest.
Yeah, and I think that reflects that we are leaders in the world. The United States is a leader in the world that wants to have countries be able to establish stable militaries that aren't, you know, you don't have military coups and things like that, and that they're given the opportunity to understand a professional military experience. I'm sure that's that really did a lot of wonders for a lot of these countries. That the stability very much depends on the stability of the military itself. That it's not a rogue force. That it's not made up of a bunch of yahoos. That being said, I also. I want to kind of flip to politics here, and you can take off your VA hat, and we know that you're not, you're not speaking for the VA, and you have your own opinions. President Trump, which strikes me as, he gets this rap from the screeching left of being this fascist and this authoritarian. Personally, I haven't seen it yet. He looks to me to be a very moderate and very circumspect about using power. Except against power itself, where he wants to, deprecate the power that is wielded over the American people by a Leviathan federal government. That being said, President Trump is probably the first president in a long time who has not launched any new military misadventures overseas or otherwise. Do you feel like it? What are your thoughts as a good old ground pounder about President Trump as a commander in chief and as a statesman?
Well, I think Korea speaks for itself. You know, for the first time in years, they haven't had the anti-American rally. That's pretty impressive. I mean, just getting into Kim Il-sung's presence is a skill. Kind of like they used to say, not to talk about you, but only Nixon can go to China. I think he's doing pretty well as a statesman. I think he's doing great as a statesman. And, hey, as far as not putting boots on the ground somewhere else, let's finish what we've started elsewhere already, you know? They always get us spread a little bit too thin, and I think we're doing fine. Our fighting men are doing, and women too, are doing a great job. Fantastic job.
Amen. I think, this nonsense about him, they talk about the deferments that he got for bone spurs, and you see the most nasty vitriol on social media and elsewhere from that they just, there's nothing about President Trump that they will not use an opportunity to bash him but at the same time, it's like, I know that I swore an oath to the Constitution to support and defend the Constitution, as we all do to serve in the military. And someone who's faithful to that, it doesn't matter to me necessarily whether or not they actually served in uniform. I think President Trump has been one of the great leaders in recent memory, probably since Ronald Reagan, in terms of esprit de corps for the military, his devotion and dedication to the troops. And I think the troops reflect that back to him. I think he's very popular with the troops. Has that been your experience? Do you find that, people are veterans as well as any active duty are into? Are they happy with how he's been conducting himself as commander in chief?
I do find that to be the case with veterans in large part. It's, he pays attention to us. He's signed things into law to speed along the process of things. And everyone's not designed to be a fighting man or a soldier. So, in fact, it's probably better that you're not a soldier if you're not designed to be one, because you're going to be a danger to yourself and to others. So if you can qualify to serve, go for it.
Jake, well, did you want to jump in there?
I 100% agree. And we actually do have a call. We might be able to fit it in really fast. If Michelle from San Marcos, she has a quick statement about Trump. And if she has a statement about the VA, that would be even better. So, Michelle, go ahead real quick.
Hi,
you're on the line with David Hocka and Tyler Nixon.
Thank you so much for your service as well. Both my husband and I are veterans. And what I wanted to say was a general statement in regard to my grandmother came here from Mexico legally in 1918, and I am Mexican-American, and a lot of my friends are Mexican-American. My daughter dates a Mexican-American, and the MSM is putting across this generalized belief to so many that across the board, Latinos hate the president, that he is, that we just despise him, that everybody, that is from Latin America or that is Hispanic, hates him, that we all want open borders.
Yeah, Michelle, that's a great point. We only have about 15 seconds left, so this has been a great conversation between Tyler Nixon and our guest, David Hocka. That's very, very great information. I want to thank him for joining us so far. I'm not sure if he'll be with us for the next segment, but this is The War Room. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The War Room.
Infowars.com/show.
Final segment of the Veterans Edition of the War Room here on InfoWars. You are with Jake Lloyd and Tyler Nixon. I wanted to say a quick last final thank you to my special guest from the Veterans Administration, Dave Haka. Dave, it's great to, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're still in the middle of a work day, and I want to thank you for all you do for our fellow veterans who need assistance, who need that care, and really appreciate your joining us.
Oh, absolutely. It's been an honor, and I'm grateful to be able to work with the veterans. I love meeting especially the remaining World War II veterans that we have. Fantastic guys, and I have a few, and a lot of Vietnam guys as well. It's just fantastic.
Well, listen, you have a great weekend, my friend, and I'll be talking to you soon, and maybe we'll be able to have you back again sometime.
Thank you, gentlemen. I would love to.
Thank you very much. Weekend. I greatly appreciated the information you brought to the show today.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So, Jake, Michelle, if you're listening, we're sorry we ran short of time there. We'd love to have you call back in and finish your point. You're more than welcome to. We got a few minutes left. The number is 888-201-2244 if anybody else wants to jump in this last segment. I also want to remind you to get over to the InfoWars store. We're having the Second American Revolution 4th of July sale. Really, really cut rate. I mean, you're talking 50% off most of the favorite solid products, the BrainForce Plus, the Survivor Shield X2, as I mentioned, the Alexa Pure Breeze is $100 off. Can't beat it. Get over there while these savings are still on for the Second American Revolution 4th of July Super Sale. We can't keep the doors here at InfoWars open without your support, and we really do appreciate it. It's a win-win, 360 win, as the master himself, Alex Jones, the original InfoWarrior, is fond of saying. You can't beat it. You get a great product, and you also help the InfoWar.
Absolutely. Jake? It is a bombshell deal, really. I mean, I was thinking about that, looking at the prices while Tyler was talking there, and it's like we're barely making anything on them. And it's like Alex always says, it's really just about, we want to give you these great prices. So you try it and you see how good the product really is for you. And then you say, well, this is worth it. And that's what happened with me. I tried some one time and I was like, this is actually worth it. So, exactly like Tyler said, it's great. 360 win. You get to have some great products at a great price, and you also get to support the InfoWar. So, but yeah, I mean, those last two segments were really great with David Haka there, because, I mean, for example, one thing he said that cleared it up for me was, I actually had my final physical or my exit exam, and then somehow they sent me out to the field after that happened. So I have a hearing thing. So, I mean, I'm very glad to hear that that is a possibility to still get that on my rating. And I would encourage all veterans out there to go and check out the phone numbers and the website that he talked about. So we had some great conversations. And if anybody wants to call in, the number is 888-201-2244. And we're happy to take your call and talk about whatever you want to talk about. And Tyler, we got into the Supreme Court a little bit earlier. We got your opinion as an attorney. I'd like to get your opinion on where you think that this is going with, we have Maxine Waters calling for total civil ostracization of Trump supporters or anybody in the administration. We have Tom Steyer saying maybe we can have a nuclear war to provide a real course correction to Trump. And of course, Michael Moore, we have to put our bodies on the line to stop Trump. You can only imagine what that means. Hillary Clinton, there's all different types of people on the Democratic left, the extremist Democratic left, calling for basically civil war. So I wanted to get your opinion. Where do you think that this is going? Do you think this is only rhetoric, or do you think that this is going to end in more people getting hurt, maybe people even dying?
Well, let's not forget also Bill Maher hoping the economy crashes, even if it hurts people, because, it'll save the democracy. And these people are deranged. You want to unseat a duly elected. I mean, nobody questions that unless you believe the Russian collusion hoax nonsense. And even then, there's been no evidence of any sort of direct impact on the election. You know, and they want to basically unseat a duly elected president, and that's their version of democracy. You know, it's democracy until they lose, right? You know, it's a democracy until their people don't get elected, until they lose power, until they're rejected. I think what we're seeing is the typical sound and fury signifying nothing. If they had any sort of real resources and if they had any sort of real appealing ideas or any ideas at all, any kind of policies for the future, I mean, just present something substantive other than not Trump. We hate Trump, 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 whatever. I mean, they're really unhinged. I mean, Trump derangement syndrome is a real malady, and I hope no veterans out there have it. And if they do, they need to add it to the list of maladies that the VA will treat, frankly. But, the bottom line is this. I think they're coming unglued because they see it's not just a matter of, well, Trump is a danger to our to our little racket we've been running, into the Clintons. You know, the Clintons are now gone. He got rid of the Bushes and the Clintons in one fell swoop. I mean, God bless him for that. He should be forever lionized just for stopping Hillary Clinton alone, even if he never served another day in office. And I think the sort of derangement, the delusion, the lunacy, the absolute unhinged behavior we're seeing is kind of a flame out, really. I don't think they're going to necessarily go away. They're not going to necessarily shut up. We're going to have to learn to live with this screeching cacophony of these lynch mobsters, the commies and so forth, the communist ilk, the socialists who, they hate what America has always represented. They view us as some sort of racist white male patriarchy. They don't want to look at the human rights tradition, the civil rights tradition, the Enlightenment tradition that's come down through the Constitution and through this constitutional republic and has set the standard for the world, frankly, as far as, you know, that's why you have, as my buddy Haka noted, military officers from around the world, you know, sending their best here to be exposed to the American culture and to our military culture and the esprit de corps that's been built there. Look, let them try what they want. I mean, we have, let's face it, they're up against those who are the most well-armed citizenry that's ever existed probably on the planet, short of, I guess, and even probably more so than the Swiss, who I believe, you know, have to own firearms by law there. But, you know, the bottom line is this. We have always been, as I've said in previous shows, we're libertarians, we're conservatives. We want to live our lives. We want the prosperity of our families, ourselves, and, you know, our citizens, those around us. We don't want to divide. We don't want to condemn. We don't want to vilify our fellow citizens. But the bottom line is we will push back. We will fight back, and we will preserve the traditions that have made our country great, that have made us stand out in the world and made us a role model for, look, as, you know, we've got our issues. And, you know, frankly, what we're fighting against, the deep state, the sort of globalist establishment cabal, all the sellouts that we've kind of touched on through the show, those who we are fighting against, they're freaking out because we're winning, because they're not what people want. We want to have our country as it's, the things that have made it great, as a constitutional republic, not as a unitary federal tyranny, not as a globalist sort of partner with a bunch of some of the worst countries around the world. President Trump is leading the charge on that. And I think in foreign policy, I mean, you know, he brings back that pride in being an American, the pride in our traditions, the pride in what we stand for, as much as, you know, it's not just empty patriotism. It's not just jingoism. And I think that's what brought, for example, a Kim Jong-un to the table. He knows that Donald Trump is real, that he believes in his country, but he also, Donald Trump is not a chauvinistic nationalist. You know, he wants our country to be great. He wants us to be a leader in the world, but he doesn't want it at the expense of other countries, such as our previous presidents who want to launch wars, who wanted to, insinuate American commercial policy, globalists, these corporatists who wanted to basically use American might to serve their interests. And I think he's a unique and compelling president. And I'm, as a veteran, as a former service member, as a Republican, as someone who believes in the Constitution, have been really, really, it's a great time to be alive. And you got to keep looking on the bright side and forget these yahoos, forget these nutbags. Let them march. Let them do whatever. Again, sound and fury signifying nothing.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, it's really not looking good for the Democrats at all, because take the Republican side for a moment, and you have Donald Trump show up, and there's some Never Trumpers or whatever. He crushed the whole Never Trump thing. So the entire Republican voting bloc is under Trump. We're behind him. Then you have the Democrats, and now they have these progressives like this this lady Ocasio-Cortez, and she comes in. They are going to lose the swing voters, because if it's Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton, you know, there's the Republicans, the Democrats, and then it's just up to the rhetoric to try to get the swing voters to bring it in and secure their votes. Well, that's not going to happen, because like swing voters are in the middle. That's the whole point. They're not going to be swayed all the way over to the far left. So it's really, really not looking good for the Democrats at the moment. We have a solid conservative bloc under Donald Trump, and the Democrats are just getting absolutely splintered. Tyler Nixon, it's been an honor having you as a co-host today. I really, really appreciate your insights into the law and the military. My name is Jake Lloyd for The War Room. We will see you again next week.